new series called The Parables of the Kingdom. We will cover about 11 parables in the Gospel of Matthew. The parables of Jesus are about the Messiah and his reign. And so parables cannot be understood without the context of Jesus' ministry. I want to start the series with a text which explains why Jesus spoke in parables. And today's message will serve as an introduction to the whole series. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You will ever be seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Before we proceed, we have to ask what a parable is. What is a parable? Is it a riddle meant to be solved? The most straightforward definition I've heard is that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So Jesus used everyday occurrences, everyday practices, everyday objects to illustrate a spiritual meaning or spiritual reality. One day Jesus went out and sat by the Lake Galilee, and a large crowd came to hear him. And so he got on a boat and he sat on it and he taught people from the boat as people stood on the shore. And he told many things in parables. And after he told them a parable of the sower, the disciples came to him and asked, "Jesus, why do you speak to people in parables?" And in Matthew, we do not see Jesus speaking in parables until chapter 13. Previously, Jesus used plain language to preach and to teach. So when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus didn't really use cryptic language or parables in his message. It was, you know, a plain language. But at a certain point, Jesus began to use parables in his ministry. So the disciples were asking, "Jesus, how come now you're talking in parables all the time? How come you're not using plain language as you used to?" And Jesus gives two reasons. The first reason is because of the hardening of people's hearts. He replied, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." Many people in the region of Galilee and beyond, they have heard the teachings of Jesus, and they've seen many miracles of Jesus, healings and exorcisms. And they have seen and heard enough of Jesus to make a decision about who this guy is. By the time they did make a decision as to trust in Jesus or whether to reject him. And many Jews rejected Jesus and did not believe in Jesus. In chapter 11, we hear Jesus denouncing some of the towns in which most of his miracles were performed, and yet did not repent. So he says, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If miracles that were performed in you were performed in Tyre and Sidon, Gentile cities, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades." When Jesus saw the response of the Jews, that is when he began to speak in parables. It was in response to their hardness of the heart. Jesus used parables because they had a dual function. They revealed God's truth, and yet at the same time, they concealed God's truth. The majority of the Jews who have hardened their hearts and rejected Jesus, they will not be able to see God's truth in the parables. They will not have the spiritual understanding. And Jesus says it was in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. We know that Isaiah chapter 6 describes the famous calling of Isaiah. He sees God in the temple, the God's holiness and temple. And when God asks, "Whom shall we send? Who will go for us?" Isaiah volunteers, "Here am I, send me, I'll go." And immediately God says, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving, make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes." You know, you're all excited to do ministry, and this is the kind of message that God tells you to preach. It's a very negative message. And by the time most of the Israelites had hardened their hearts against God, God decided, he had already decided to punish, to judge the nation of Israel through the Babylonians. And God decided to send the survivors to Babylon as exiles. So God was telling Isaiah, "Even if you tell my people to turn back to me, they will not repent. They have hardened their hearts, and your message will only further harden their hearts, and they will not be able to repent." In Exodus, God kept hardening Pharaoh's heart after he first hardened his heart, and it was a form of judgment. The Israelites had hardened their hearts against God, and Isaiah's message would keep on hardening their hearts. And if you tell a hard-hearted heart to repent, that person will only grow more rebellious. Jesus is telling his disciple, that's what's going on in his time. To those who have hardened their hearts, the parables will conceal God's truth and further the hardening of their hearts. But to those who are trusting in Jesus, the parables will reveal God's truth, and it will soften their hearts, and that will further and further enlighten their spiritual understanding. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So the ones who trust in Jesus, they will be given more and more revelation. But those who have rejected Jesus, even the little understanding that they might have will be taken away. Now, does that mean that there is no hope for those who have hardened their hearts? The very text that Jesus quotes from in Isaiah ends with a silver lining. "But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." Though God used Babylon to judge Israel, God left a remnant as a holy seed. The ones in exile will return to Israel, and they will rebuild Jerusalem. And after judgment, God's mercy will restore Israel. And we are now living in time of salvation, a time of mercy. At the Pentecost, some of the priests and Pharisees who opposed Jesus and killed Jesus, some of them, they repented and they came to believe in Jesus. So Jesus is willing to forgive even the most hardened enemies. And this hardening seems to be largely that of the Jews. In the very last chapter of Acts, we see Paul explaining the gospel to the Jews in Rome. Some believed, but most Jews did not believe. And so Paul quotes the same text. People's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have shut their eyes. And this is what Paul says. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. Indeed, the nations, the Gentiles, have been much more receptive to God's word than Jews. But even the Jews who have rejected Jesus, eventually, Paul was convinced, eventually they will come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. Though parables had this dual function of concealment and revelation, Matthew emphasizes the revelation as its primary function. In the same chapter 13, Matthew says that the parables fulfilled the function of revealing God's mysteries. Verse 34, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables, so was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. So the concealing of God's mystery is a secondary function. The primary function of the parables was to reveal things hidden from the very creation. And the second reason, another reason why Jesus spoke in parables, is to show that spiritual understanding is a gift from God. He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. The secrets of the kingdom has been given to the disciples. The disciples did not figure them out on their own. The mysteries of the kingdom were given to them as a gift. It was a gift. They were given to them as God's grace. Now, something may seem like a human act on the surface, but prior to that, there was a divine enablement. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, all things have been committed to me. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Knowing God or knowing God's kingdom is not a matter of our searching and our discovering, but it's a matter of God revealing it to us. It's God's gift. And again, in Matthew 16, Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter gave the correct answer. You are the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. And Jesus did not say, well done, Peter. I picked you because I knew how smart you are. I knew that you would figure it out. Jesus did not say that, right? Jesus said, blessed are you, son of Jonah, Simon. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. He's saying, this was revealed to you as a gift. Spiritual insight, spiritual understanding is a gift from the Father in heaven. Although it's a gift, we don't like it because we are proud. We want to boast that we have figured out something on our own. We want to say, I have discovered it. We want to be in some control. We want to feel like we have done something to gain an insight. But Jesus says, no, it's all God's grace, and it's all by God's sovereignty. Spiritual understanding is not an understanding of the head, but of the heart. In our Western thinking, we think of understanding mainly as an activity of the mind. But in Hebrew thinking, understanding is shown in your actions, in your life. Heart understanding leads to obedience and fruit in one's life. The Pharisees, they understood the parables of Jesus with their head, but not with their hearts. When Jesus spoke the parable of the tenants, the Pharisees knew that he was speaking of God's judgment against them. And yet, instead of repenting, they plotted to kill Jesus. Their actions against Jesus show that they had no spiritual understanding. Their hearts were hardened and darkened by their own sin and rebellion. So sin makes our hearts dull, and we cannot understand spiritual truth without the help of God. So whenever John Calvin gave a message, he prayed a prayer of illumination. He asked the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts so that we may receive the word in humility and with fear, and that we would respond with faith and obedience. In the parable of the sower, the good soil represents people with the heart understanding. They were the ones who produced the fruit. The other people, the other soils, did not have spiritual understanding, and they failed to produce the fruit. Jesus spoke in parables to keep us humble. They were meant to keep us dependent on Him for the gift of the heart understanding. So whenever we come to worship, whenever we meditate on God's word or pray, we are to have this attitude. There's a famous hymn. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes falls on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, to do your will. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. So today, let us pray for one thing. And it's the same thing that King Solomon asked of God. When God said to Solomon, ask me for anything you wish. And Solomon asked for a heart, a discerning heart, to distinguish right and wrong. And in Hebrew, the literal word is a listening heart, a heart that listens, a heart that is receptive to God's word, a heart that is soft and responds and bears the fruit. So in a way, Solomon asked God to make his heart into a good soil. And God promised us in Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So let's ask Him, God, by your grace, give me a soft heart. Give me a receptive heart, a heart with true understanding, so I can bear fruit. Let's pray.